For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
All right, tonight we finish Vayechi, we finish Sefer Bereishis. I'd like to share with you from the Rosh Hashiva part six of what we've been discussing, in which we've literally tied together a theme throughout all of Sefer Bereishis. And tonight, Mirtz Hashem, we will put that all together. I hope I will do it justice. This was a little bit more complicated to me than some of the others, but hopefully, having built upon all of that we've done, this will make sense. Okay, let's begin from the end. I mean that literally. This is what he ends with, but I'm going to start with it because I think it'll help us as we work it through. Yaakov gives brachas to all of the brachas, directions, unclear what to call them, to all of the shvatim, all of the brothers, all of his sons at the end of the parsha. And to Yosef, he says as follows. Ben poras Yosef, ben poras alei oyena. Yosef is a different ways of translating this phrase, very difficult phrase, ben poras Yosef. Either a charming or a fruitful son is Yosef. Ben poras alei oyen, a fruitful or a charming son to the eye. Benos tsa'ado alei shur. Each of the daughters climbed heights to gaze, a reference to as he was marched through Mitzrayim, that he was such a beautiful man, that the young ladies would actually climb the fences, so to speak, to see him. And so Yosef is called this charming or this fruitful son, and a fruitful son to the eye. The Gemara uses this as a source for a very interesting halacha. When the Jewish people will eventually enter into Eretz Yisrael after 40 years in the Midbar, and Yehoshua will guide them, there are several hundred years before the Beis HaMikdash will be built. And during those several hundred years, the Mishkan that accompanied them through their journey in the desert will be in various locations as a temporary Beis HaMikdash. Not yet a Beis HaMikdash, just a Mishkan. The main place where the Mishkan will rest is in Shiloh. Shiloh, as we will see towards the end of tonight, is referred to as the Ohel Yosef, the place of Yosef himself, as we've referenced in past weeks. Yosef is the temporary one. Yehoshua, as we mentioned, who is from Shevet Yosef, will eventually conquer the land, set up the original Mishkan until its permanent place is set up. That Mishkan in Shiloh had a unique halacha. Generally, when you have kachim, when you have karbanos that are brought, or certain aspects of sanctified foods, they have to be eaten within the walls, certain types of them, foods within the walls of the Beis HaMikdash. There are certain boundaries that create the level of Kedusha, and foods have to be eaten within those boundaries. The Mishkan in Shiloh, during its time there, by the way, if you've been to Eretz Yisrael recently, you can actually go to the place that they believe is where the Mishkan is. On my last our Tanakh tour that we took to Eretz Yisrael, there's a city in Shiloh, which is not on the biblical Shiloh, it's off a hill right off of the biblical city of Shiloh. And outside of that city, they found in the midst of these hilltops a perfectly rectangular structure, foundation of a structure, that they believe is the Mishkan of Shiloh. Part of the reasons why they believe it's a Mishkan of Shiloh is because in the hills surrounding this structure were just an inordinate amount of broken shards of vessels, which is what they would use to cook their karbanos in, because once you've cooked a karban in a vessel, you could not use it for anything else. So they would buy these cheap earthenware vessels, and they would just break them after they would use them. And on these hilltops surrounding this perfectly rectangular structure, right outside of modern-day Shiloh, where they believe the biblical Shiloh was, they found all of these shards, and they believe that's the Mishkan of Shiloh. That Mishkan had a unique halacha that as long as you could see the Mishkan, then the sanctified foods can be eaten in it. There wasn't this idea like in the Beis HaMikdash of the walls of the Beis HaMikdash creating the sanctity, but if you could see it, then you can eat those specific types of karbanos. So the Gemara Maseches Zvachim asks, what's the source for that? Where do we find such a halacha that just being able to see the area gives it a certain sanctity, even though you're not in the area, but I can see the area that I should be allowed to eat? So the Gemara in Zvachim brings our pasuk. It says, Ben Paras Yosef Ben Paras Alei Ayin. So the Gemara says, Ayin Shelo Ratzis Alazun Velehenos Midavar She'eno Shelo. Let the I that did not want to feed upon and derive enjoyment from that which did not belong to it. A reference to Potiphar's wife, Ashes Potiphar. Tizke v'toichal kemole einaha. That I should merit to eat sacrifices as far as its range of vision. So we have an episode of Yosef HaTzadik in Mitzrayim, the eye that saw the beauty of Potiphar's wife and said, no, I can't do it. That eye in his ohel, in the tent of Shiloh in the Mishkan, should therefore have the right that if you can see it, you can eat the sanctified kachim of the Mishkan. And that's the source, says the Gemara, for this unique halacha of the Mishkan Shiloh, because the eye of Yosef held back from that which didn't belong to it, and therefore anyone who can see the Mishkan should be able to eat kachim. That's our opening Gemara that Rosh Hashiva is going to darshan. Where is that coming from? What is the meaning behind that? So far, so good? Okay. Let's start. Also in this week's parasha, we find the following. Yaakov is giving brachas to the two children of Yosef, Ephraim and Menashe. The psukim we want to focus on are Chaf Aleph and Chaf Beis in source number one, but just to give it a little bit of context, going back, a pasuk, Vayivarchem Bayom Ha'u Le'mor, Yaakov gives these two boys, his two grandsons, a bracha, B'cha Yivarech Yisrael Le'mor Yisimcha Elokim Kefraim and Menashe, that for all generations, Klal Yisrael should bench their children, that you should be like Ephraim and Menashe, Vayosem Es Ephraim Lefnei Menashe. That's a whole story unto itself, which is not for tonight. What happens right after that bracha? Immediately in the pasuk following Yaakov switching his hands and giving a bracha to Ephraim and to Menashe, Vayomer Yisrael el Yosef hine anochi meis. Now he's done. He's now given a bracha to his grandchildren. He's elevated them to the status of Shvatim. And he says to Yosef, I'm about to die. V'hayo Elokim imachem, Hashem will be with you. It's a future tense. V'hayo Elokim imachem, v'heishiv eschem el eretz avoseichem. Right now we're in Mitzrayim. Hashem will be with you, and He will take you back to Eretz Yisrael, to the land of your fathers one day. V'ani, and as for me, nasati l'choshchem achad. I will give you one shchem. Yaakov is now talking to Yosef in its most literal sense. I'll give you one portion al achecha, more than your brothers. Asher lakachti miad ha'emori b'charbi uvekashti. And which portion will I give to you more than I'm giving to your brothers? The one that I took from the hands of the Emori, one of the nations that lived in Eretz Yisrael, b'charbi uvekashti, with my sword and with my arrow. Very vague pasuk. Yaakov now on his deathbed gives a bracha to his grandchildren and he says to Yosef, and you're going to get one extra portion. We could tie this into last week's shiur in which there's this consistent idea of giving Yosef more and different than all the problems that it creates. Even on his deathbed, Yaakov says, I'm going to give you one more than your brothers. And what is that going to be? It's going to be that which I took from the Emori with my sword and with my arrow. On its simple meaning, as Rashi explains, Shechem Echad, one portion, actually literally refers to the city of Shechem. It's not just some random portion I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you the city of Shechem. Rashi quotes Lefi She'ata Torech Lehisasik B'Kfurasi. Right now, you're the one toiling in my burial. I'm about to die, and you're going to have to schlep me now from Mitzrayim all the way back to Eretz Yisrael. So I'm going to repay you for taking care of me. I'll repay you and take care of you when you die. And how am I going to do that? With the city of Shechem. As the pasuk says in Yehoshua, V'yasatzmos Yosef asher he'alu b'nei Yisrael mi'Mitzrayim kavru b'Shechem. Sefer Yehoshua will describe that they've been schlepping Yosef's bones for 40 years. They took it out of Mitzrayim. For 40 years they're carrying his bones through the desert. They finally get into Eretz Yisrael. They head off to Shechem because Yaakov promised Yosef that's where he'll be buried. Okay, so Rashi just says Shechem Mamish Hiti Elochelik Echad Yisera Alachach. You're going to get an extra pasuk. I brought the pasuk in Yeshua and say in source number two. As Atzmos Yosef Asherhel, Rashi quotes part of this pasuk. Asherhelu b'nei Shomim Mitzrayim Kavru b'Shechem B'chalkas Hasod Asher Kona Yaakov Mi'eis b'nei Chor Avi Shechem B'meyak Sita. And that's the pasuk describes that. We saw this a couple of weeks ago, that the Torah described Yaakov purchased Shechem, the Meyak Sita, for 100 whatever value that was. Vayu livnei Yosef lenachal. And therefore, not, and Yosef's children received this extra, aside for the inheritance they were going to get, they got Shechem. Where do we see Becharbi uvekashti? Where do we see Yaakov? It says he bought it. Where do we see he conquered it? So to this, there's a medrash that I forgot to bring. I apologize. I'll just read it to you quickly. The medrash says, so once Yaakov's children wiped out the city of Shechem, Yaakov said, I'm going to allow my children to be, all the nations are going to attack them. I'm going to allow my children to be killed by all the nations of the world who are going to take revenge on the city of Shechem. Ma asad is the medrash. Notol charbo vikashto. Yaakov took his sword and his bow. The Amad lo al pischa shel Shechem, and he stood at the entrance to Shechem. The Amar im yavo umo saolam lihizdavig libni. If any of these nations of the world come to attack my children, ani nilcham kinegdach. I'll fight for them. So the Medrash actually connects the Charbi uvikashti to the city of Shechem. Yaakov bought it, and then he fought for it. And simple meaning of the pasuk is, Yaakov on his deathbed gives this to Yosef as a nachla. What's the first half of the pasuk? I am going to die, but Hashem will be with you, and He will take you back, and this will be your inheritance. So far, so good. It's simple meaning of the pasuk. The Medrash, which we'll see now, takes this in an entirely different... Everything that you just were arguing, that's all nice, that was all an introduction. That's the simple meaning. But we're not here to learn the simple meaning. Says the Medrash, what is Yaakov giving to Yosef? This prized son of his, the Ben Zakunim, who he gave the Ketones Pasim to, who has led him down to Mitzrayim. What is he promising him when he says, I'm going to give you a Shechem Echad? One extra portion. Says the Medrash in source number 3. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, I give you the sources because you won't even believe this if I wouldn't. Like, I'm not making this up. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Anina Sati Lochashchem Zeha Bechora Ulevusho Shel Adam Harishon. What is Yaakov giving to Yosef? Two things that Yaakov had, prized possessions that he had. One,
birthright.
Who did he get that from?
Esav.
What else did he get from Esav?
The coat.
The coat. The coat. For those of you who were not here last week, I brought the Medrash in verse in source number 4. Just to review, V'Yisrael Ahaves Yosef Mikol Banov Asalo Ketones Pasim, said the Medrash, what was this ketones that he gave to Yosef? HaKetones HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaAdam Hu LaOzro. The coat, the garment, the first garment made in history, which was Hashem's garment that He gave to Adam and to Chava. The fig leaves, we said, that was just raw material. That was functional. That just covered their embarrassment and their shame and their nakedness. But Hashem then made them clothing. First clothing, which was given to Adam. When was it given to Adam? What point in time? Why? When?
When he was banished.
When he was banished. Right before he goes into exile, he leaves Gan Eden. Hashem says, you need clothing now. Now he makes some clothing for Adam and for Chava. He shalakha Esav mi Nimrod. Esav Nimrod then conquered that clothing or took it at some point from Adam and Chava. Esav conquers Nimrod, takes those clothing. Vehi bigde Esav hachamudos. And those were... Yeah. The flood. But Nimrod was on the bottom back of the flood. He was probably wearing the clothing. When I said this over Shabbos morning, somebody asked, what about the flood? So I said this last week. A medrash like this, so some midrashim are to be taken literally. Some midrashim are tracing conceptualizations through different points in Jewish history. So I don't know the answer whether or not this is a medrash that, yes, we need to figure out how did this garment get from... it's all possible. It doesn't matter, because either it's literal, or Chazal are saying there is a koach, a message, an idea behind the first clothing that Adam was given when he went into Golus, and that was taken, somehow manifested itself in Nimrod, in Esav, and then it was taken by Yaakov when he took the brachas. So maybe literal, then I have to answer the kasha of the flood. Maybe it just means that there's this idea that you can trace through history that I don't have to answer the flood. I don't know. I can't answer that. In any case, these are the garments that Yaakov took from Esav. At what other precipitous moment in history that we've seen, at what happened when Yaakov took these garments?
He sent into exile.
Well, he's about to go into exile before that, but he also took over something which we've been discussing over, and this is part six.
Physical.
Correct. In other words, Yaakov was supposed to be the Avodas Pnim. He was going to be the spiritual inside the Beis HaMedrash, inside the Beis HaKnesses. He was going to be Tefillin, Torah, and Avoda. And Esav was going to be the Ish HaSada, who was going to be his executive director. And he puts on these clothing that Adam was given as he went into exile to say, I'm going to take this role. I'm going to steal this bracha from my brother Esav. That's the clothing that he wears. What happens to that clothing after Yaakov steals the bracha? He hands it off to Yosef in the form of the Ketonis Pasim that Yosef now has. And then the Medrash on Yaakov's deathbed says to Yosef, I've given you two things. I've given you the Bechora, and I'm giving you this garment. If you remember also, we learned last week, I think we've learned this already 2 weeks, so now it's going to be 3 weeks in a row. The Medrash points out, on the Rashi quotes this Ketonis Pasim, the word Pasim, Pei Samach Yun Mem, stands for something. Pei is Potiphar, Samach is Sochrim, Yud is Yishmaelim, Mem is Midyanim. All the tzaros of Yosef. Yaakov gives to his beloved son and says, I love you so much, you're going to have a rough life, my son. But you need this to survive it. All of those tzaros were the tzaros that Yosef took with him as he entered into Galus. As he left the home of his father, he got those specific messages, those garments, and that's what he took with him. Those are the two things that Yaakov now says, according to the Medrash on his deathbed. I gave you a Shechem Echad. I gave you one more portion. It was the Bechora, and it was this coat. Says the Medrash, I'm back on three. Asher lakachti miyad ho emori. The problem is, what did Yaakov, who did Yaakov say he got this from? He got it from the Emori, not from Esav. Says the Medrash, is the Esav. The reference to the Emori is Esav. V'chi Esav Emori haya. Esav wasn't from the nation of Emori. El asher asa maisa Emori. But he acted like the Emori, and therefore we're not going to spend too much time on this point. The Medrash holds that there is a reference in the hands of the Emori really to Esav. And how did I get these? Not with my sword and my arrow, but b'mitzvos u'v'masim tovim. I earned these objects, the bechora and the coat, through my actions and my deeds of mitzvos and masim tovim. Yeah, okay, I was about to ask that question. Huh? What? So, okay, let's just summarize what we have here. Pasha pshat. Let's leave the Pashup aside for a second and get into our Midrashim. We have a Medrash that says the Gemara says the ability to eat kudshim, to eat sanctified foods in Shiloh, anywhere where you can see it, is because Yosef was not just beautiful to the eye, but Yosef's eye held back from that which wasn't his, and therefore if you can see it, you're sanctified. Then we went to Yaakov's bracha to Yosef on his deathbed after giving his grandchildren brachas. He says to Yosef, I've given you a Shechem Echad. Pasha Pshat is the city of Shechem. The Medrash says this refers to the Bechora, the rights of the firstborn, and this coat that was given to Adam and then traces its way through Nimrod and Esav that was taken by Yaakov. This is now yours.
But the double portion was also giving his two sons.
Okay, Parsha Pshat Rashi says the double portion is that there's Ephraim and Menashe. The Medrash is not learning the extra portion that way. The Medrash is learning the double portion, firstborn and clothing. And firstborn, we'll see, does not necessarily mean a double portion. See you in a second. We're going to get to that. Okay, what is the pshat with all of this? Why is Yaakov giving these things to Yosef, and why is this so important for him to know now? And what does it mean to all of us? Okay, so the Rosh Hashiva understood, and we'll do this briefly since we've gone through this so many weeks already. There were two brachas, and we referenced this just a few moments ago. There were two brachas that Yaakov gets when he comes in at his father Yitzchak's death. Right before his father dies, he sends Esav out to the field to make him a nice meal, give me a bracha. Yaakov comes in, dressed up as Esav, and there are two brachas. The first bracha that he got was a bracha of physicality. It was a bracha of the bounty of the earth. Meitav ha'aretz, mishmanei ha'aretz. That was the bracha that was supposed to go to Esav. And then when Yaakov leaves to go to his uncle's house, he gets a second bracha from his father Yitzchak, and that was the bracha of Avraham, the bracha of spirituality, the bracha of Ruchnius, the bracha of you are going to be the descendant of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And as the Rosh Hashiva explained, and as we've learned many times, there were supposed to be two different services, two different types of avoda in Klal Yisrael, and Yaakov and Esav were supposed to be partners. We have many sources that we've learned in the past that Esav was supposed to be destined to be a member of Klal Yisrael. And in fact, he's considered a member of Klal Yisrael. He's what's called a Yisrael Mumar, a Jew who's gone off the derech. Esav opted out. And the relationship was supposed to be Yaakov as the Ishtam Yoshev Ohalim, the Rosh Hashiva, sitting and learning. And Esav is going to be the Isha Sada, the executive director, who is going to take all those things from outside and be Makadish them and sanctify them and use them for the Avodas HaKodesh. Esav opts out. Yaakov says, I need it. He dresses up as Esav, and he takes those brachas. The dressing up as Esav, last week we learned, was significant because clothing represents an outward manifestation of what's going on inside. And the inside, as Yaakov dresses up as Esav, is a classic example. Inside, who is it? It's Yaakov. It's Yaakov HaTzadik. Well, Chazal called Yosef HaTzadik, it's Yaakov. But on the outside, he now looks like Esav. He feels like Esav. And that is the Avodas HaLevushim, the idea of clothing that can change depending on what you're involved in. You can wear different clothing. A Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash dresses differently than when the Kohen's at home. And a person on vacation dresses differently than when he's at home. The inside, the primus has to remain the same. A person can go to work, he can dress like a doctor, he can dress like a lawyer, he can dress like whatever he wants. Clothing come in, clothing come off. They represent, they manage, they transmit to the world what we want, but it's because what we want to transmit, but inside always has to remain true. And as we learned last week, that is most important in Galus. More than even in Eretz Yisrael, it's also true. But particularly in Galus, when you're living in a hostile environment, foreign culture to that which we believe, so you have to adapt to that, you have to fit into that, you have to deal with that. And you can wear the levush on the outside, but inside has to remain true. And that's why the first place where we find clothing is Gan Eden before they go into Galus. Yaakov gives this clothing, which he takes from Esav, as he now needs to take on the Isha Sada. He has to take on the role of being outside and involved in the world. He gives it to his son Yosef, specifically when Yosef is heading down, or he teaches Yosef the Torah that he needs for Galus. He gives Yosef the coat of Galus, because that's going to be Yosef's role of being on the outs, being in Galus, being in Mitzrayim, and being the conqueror, the first one in, always that role, as we've been discussing for all of these weeks. That is setting up part one. What did Yaakov give to Yosef? He gave him clothing, because Yosef was going to be the child who needs this clothing. But he also gave him the Bechorah. What does the Bechorah represent? The idea of the firstborn. So if you take a look at source number 5, Medrash says, Ma ro'a avinu Yaakov shemasar nafsho al ha-Bechorah. What did Yaakov see in this idea of having the rights to the firstborn, that he was willing to risk his life to be Moser Nefesh on it, to get the bracha from his father Yitzchak, who knew what Esav would do, to come up with this whole plan to buy it from Esav when he was hungry and bloodthirsty? What did Yaakov see in this? So the Medrash says it's Tanin, and Rashi quotes this as well in a different form. Until the Mishkan was erected, who was the one who served? It was the Bechor. The firstborn had the rights. The way the Torah wanted this to be set up was every family had a Kohen in it. It wasn't the Pshat like it is now, where there's a Kohen tribe. Every family had a firstborn who was sanctified, who would serve in the Beis HaMikdash. You'd go to Yerushalayim, and your kid would be the one who would be dressed in the Big Day Kahuna, who would bring the Karbanos, who would eat a B'Kedusha, and that impacted a family. You had a Kohen in your family. And we lost that rights, but it was originally supposed to be the way. Yaakov says the avodah is going to be in the Bechorim. Omer Yaakov, Yia Rasha Zeh Omeru Makriv. This Rasha, my brother Esav, is going to be the one who's going to be Makriv, who's going to be the one to offer the sacrifices in the Beis HaMikdash. Lefikach Nasa Nafsho Al HaBechorim. So Yaakov is Moser Nefesh, so willing to give up of everything in order to have these rights. So the Bechora isn't necessarily getting double portion. It means much more than that. It means I'm the one who serves in the Beis HaMikdash. Put this into the language of the Rosh Yeshiva. What are the two things that Yaakov gives to Yosef? He gives him the Bechora and he gives him a coat. What are the two things he's giving him? He's giving him the Bechora represents all the Avodah inside. We kept using, what was a classic example of the Avodah's Pnim? The Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash, doing the Avodah, being a Karbanos, eating Kedusha, Truma, Tahara. And he gave him a coat. And what does a coat represent? Coat represents you're going to be out there in the world. Adam HaRishon needs a coat when he's in Golus. That's when he needs his coat. Yosef needs a coat because he's going to be the one down to Mitzrayim. He's going to be the one all alone, the only Jew in Mitzrayim who has to maintain himself and raise his family in the same way which he does, that his children should be considered like the Shvatim, but he raised them in Mitzrayim. You need a coat for that, to be able to look like a Mitzri, that when the brothers come down, they think you're an Egyptian, and really you're Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef got two things. He gets the Bechora, the rights to serve, which is going to be represented in Shiloh, the Mishkan, if you see, brought in the Pasuk in Tehillim in source 6. The Pasuk refers to Vayimas Be'ohel Yosef Uveshevet Ephraim Lo Bechar. The Pasuk is actually describing why Hashem got rid of Shiloh and was Becher Beshevet Yehuda to build a permanent home for himself. But how does he refer to the Mishkan in Shiloh? It's all of Yosef. Yosef represents that first Mishkan, always laying the groundwork, setting the scene, as he does in Mitzrayim. Mordechai is descended from Yosef, Ishimini from Binyamin, from the tribe, from descended from Rachel's children, who's going to be the one to take us out of Golus of the Purim story. Yoshua is going to lead us in Eretz Yisrael. That whole theme of the first to lead, the first to set the path, that is going to be always Yosef. Correct. That was last week when Yosef gives all the brothers chalifos smalot. All of the brothers got a change of clothing, and Binyamin got 5 because he needed for Mordechai. So everybody needed clothing in Mitzrayim. That's how we learned that last week. What does Yosef give them clothing for? The only clothing because they're all now coming down to Mitzrayim. So now is a reference to Mishkan Shiloh. Okay, so let's finish up one more point, maybe more than one, but let's get to the next point. So what we now have is Yaakov gives to Yosef two things. He gives him a coat, and he gives him the rights to the Bechora, the rights to the Bechora to be able to serve in the Beis HaMikdash or the Mishkan, and this coat of handling Golus. But put it back into the context of the Pasuk. Yaakov said he introduced this with the Pasuk. Pasuk Chafal back in source number 1. Vayomer Yisrael al Yosef, Hinei Anochi Meis, I'm going to die. V'hayo Elokim Imachem, Hashem will be with you. V'heishiv Eschem El Eretz Avosechem, and He'll bring you back. And I'm going to give you the Shechem Echad. So according to the Medrash, that what he's giving him is the coat and the Bechora, what does that have to do with, I'm going to die, Hashem will be with you, and we'll bring you back to the land? Why did he introduce this gift with that phrase, Hashem v'hayo Elokim imachem? Am I losing it clear? Why I'm going to die, Hashem will be with you, I'll take you back. What does that have to do with now I'm giving you these specific gifts? Look at Medrash, source number 7. Shmosh Rabba, the Medrash says as follows, Zomer Rav Tavyumi, B'sho shehigi azmano shel Yaakov avinu lipoter min ha'olam. When it came time for Yaakov to leave this world to die, Karl Ivanov called all of his sons and Amram, and he said to them as follows, there's going to be a time when Hashem is going to ask your children and grandchildren to build for him a Mishkan. Make sure that you have all that you'll need prepared. This Medrash is addressing like when Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, and they have cedar wood, and they have Tcheles and Argon. Like, where did they get that from in the Midbar? Medrash says, Yaakov, 210 years before they left Mitzrayim, called his sons together and said, there's going to be a time when you're going to be asked to build a Mishkan. Make sure you're ready with what you need. Says the Medrash. End of that discussion. I'm sorry, I'm on a pasuk, which is the most important pasuk. Shene'emar v'haya Elokim imachem. What's the pasuk the Medrash says that Yaakov tells his children there's going to be a Mishkan that you're going to have to build? Which pasuk? That's our pasuk. Hashem will be with you. When will Hashem be with you? When He asks you to build a Mishkan. Make sure you're ready to build Him a Mishkan, because He's going to be with you at some point. Get all the materials that you'll need and be prepared. End of that thought. The Medrash then says, well, wait a minute. He's telling that there will be one day that Hashem will be with you? What about right now? Can you imagine, says the Medrash, that when Yaakov was still living, he wasn't with his children then, that he only was saying to them, one day he'll be with you? This is what he was saying to you. He'll ask you to build him a mishkan, a mikdash, and he will literally dwell his presence amongst you. I will literally dwell amongst them. And because I'm going to dwell amongst them, I'm going to have them build him a mishkan. You need to get yourselves ready. Lo bisocho bilvad ela bisocham, in all of them. The Rosh Hashiva learned the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash were the quintessential Avodas Pnim. They were the ones who served inside. They were the ones who were Mekadesh, who sanctified all that was going inside. But in the Beis HaMikdash, that was limited. It was limited to the walls of the Beis HaMikdash. It was limited to that space was what was sanctified. Outside the mechitzos, outside the walls of the Beis HaMikdash, was a totally different level of Kedusha, and the Kohanim did not have that Shlita outside. It was inside the Beis HaMikdash. Shiloh was different. The Mishkan of Shiloh, the Mishkan established in the area of Yosef, did not have the limitations of walls. Beis HaMikdash does, Yehuda, but not Yosef. Yosef is not limited to walls. What's sanctified when it comes to the Mishkan of Yosef? Anything that can see the Mishkan of Yosef. Yosef stands for not just the Avo. He gets the Bechorah. He's going to have a Mishkan. But his Bechorah comes together with something else. It comes together with a coat. Because Yosef represents much more than just the sanctification of the Pnim, he represents the Chutz, the Galus, exile, outside, being able to sanctify that also. The sanctity of Yosef is not bound by the walls of the inside. What we would call the Avodas Pnim, the inner Avoda. His sanctification pushes out. There are no walls, because Yosef's task is to sanctify that which is outside. And he gets two things. He gets a Shechem Echad, a coat, and a Bechora. Because he's going to have a Mishkan, but his Mishkan is going to come with a coat. As the Gemara learns in Source 8, Baal, the Shiloh, and Klal Yisrael gets to Shiloh, ne'esru habamos. So then you couldn't have your own personal mizbeach anymore. Hi Aisam Menucha, that was the resting place of Hashem's presence. Kachim, the holiest can only be eaten inside, but the Kachim, Kalim, or Meiser Sheni, b'chol haroya. So sort of anywhere we can see, you can eat your Meiser Sheni. Anywhere that can see Shiloh, you can eat your Kachim, Kalim, the lower levels of the Kachim that come. That is the koach of the ohel of Yosef. The Avodas Pnim, which he had a shaychus to, he got the blessing of the Bechor to be able to have it temporarily, and his primary avoda of the levushin, the garments that he got, to sanctify. And so when Chazal say, what's the source? what's the source for Yosef being able, the Shiloh, the Mishkan Shiloh, of being able to eat anywhere that can see? So they point to Yosef. And they say, Yosef had the koach of his eye, that when he saw something that he wasn't allowed to have, he leaves what behind? He leaves his coat behind and says, I can't have this. And what does he merit? Being in that, that's a position that only Yosef finds himself in. Yosef finds himself in the house of Potiphar all by himself, and he has to shed his coat and say, I can't. And what does he earn? He earns a Mishkan in Shiloh, temporary, because eventually it's going to go to Yehuda, children of Leah, but temporary, in which the divine presence rests in his domain, and when it rests in his domain, it's not bounded by walls. If you can be in his presence, if you can see him, Ben Poras Yosef Alei Ayin, in the beautiful eye, then you can be enveloped in his Kedusha, which is all about going out and sanctifying that as well. And therefore his Mishkan is wall-less, so to speak. If you can see it, you could be affected by his Kedusha, his strength, to sanctify that which is outside.
It's also interesting, when he almost did it with Potiphar, he saw his father.
Correct. That's what it. That was the ability of Yosef to see outside of his father's home, to take his father with him into the house of Potiphar, and be able to maintain that. That is how the Rosh Yeshiva learned that source of the Gemara. Why is it that in Shiloh that you can do that? It all comes back to Yosef's ability with his eye to see, but to leave everything behind, shed the coat, and say, I can't have it. And that's the sanctification of everything that is within his presence, not just within the walls of the Beis HaMikdash. All right, that ties up Sefer Bereishis. Literally, I think this is the fifth different shir, which he takes this theme and works it through various themes, and now I have to write this all up and publish a book in his name. Yeah, so that was the last section. I just didn't get to. See, he writes, the Rosh Yeshiva writes, because it was a ruchni, this whole kind, it can't possibly be his sword, a literal sword. And then he has this last piece here, which I didn't get to as far as tonight, the difference between Masim Tovim and mitzvos. Mitzvos being avodas pnim, like this is what Hashem says to do, and it's sanctified, versus Ma'asim Tovim, which is me just making a meal for someone and bringing it to him. Bikur Cholim doesn't have the same chefs of Kedusha of a mitzvah, which is put on tefillin. Here you have Limud HaTorah. Right, but it's by definition, a Ma'asim Tovim is by definition you doing something with your resources for someone else. Doesn't have a chefetz of kedusha like a mitzvah does, and so he tries to tie those two things in as to the coat and the bechora. Why Chazal say, how did he get that? He got that with mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim. All right. Okay. Next week, no shir.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.